So we're going to restart again from Perek, the beginning of Perek Gimel, which is on Dav Zayin, page 7. Vine, we're talking about the godly soul. Says the Baal Tanya, Vihine kol b'chino umadrega mishalish elu. Every aspect, every level of these three aforementioned qualities of the neshama, namely nefesh, ruach, and neshama, kalula, each of these is made up of me'eser b'chines. Each of them is made up of 10 levels. Keneged eser sfiras el yoinis, that correspond to the 10 higher spheres. Now, we got to pause a moment, because this terminology is going to be used a lot, both here in Sefer Tanya, in any Kabbalistically inclined Sefer. What is this concept of 10 spheres? Now, the language of a sphere, if you remember, it says there by Kabbalah Satera, that beneath the mountain was an image, and that the terminology used is a saphir, which is a sapphire. One of the things that we got to understand is that it is absolutely forbidden to attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu any midah. Zohar explicitly says, "Lav me'ilin kol midas klal," that God does not have personality. God does not have character. So, what are these spheres? And the way the Sefer Kodesh explain it, to use some scientific terms that, again, I gleaned so well in Babov, is that light, pure light, when it emanates, if it doesn't hit anything, you can't see it. It's only when light comes upon something that you're able to see the light. The term that all the Sefer Kodesh use to refer the energy that comes forth from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Or. Even though it doesn't mean light, Hashem doesn't emanate light, Hashem emanates a spiritual energy that He created. But in order for the Bria to be able, in any which way, to be served by that Or, what's required is something for it to hit. There needs to be a Kli, there needs to be a vessel, a mechanism with which the Ribbono Shel Olam uses the Or that emanates from Himself to interact with the creations that He created. Those are the Eser Midos. Those are called the spheres. Okay? And the reason a saphir is used is because a saphir, or any precious stone, actually emanates the light further. It processes the light in a certain way. So too, each one of the spheres takes the infinite Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, processes it through Ahava, processes it through Yira, through love, through fear, whatever aspect it is, and it emanates outward through that sphere.
Do you have any questions?
Later on. Yeah. Mark it down. Now, we mentioned last week that the neshama is a chelik alikar mimal, that the neshama is made up of godly material. That means that it takes on the qualities of an emanation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the neshama too is klula, as he says here, is comprised of these 10 spheres. Okay? And then he says further, Hanichlokos l'shtayim, they are divided into two parts. Shein sholesh imois, they are three, what are called imois, we normally translate that as mothers. V'sheva kfulos, and seven doubles, this is a language from the early Kabbalistic works, a borrowed terminology here. What are they? Pirish, they are chachma, bina, das, the three intellectual qualities of Chochmah, Bina, Das. He's going to explain them in a minute. Vishivas Yimei Binyan, and the seven personality or quality traits called the 7 days of creation, which are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, V'chulu. He only mentions three of them. The other four are viewed as being offshoots of those three. So that's true vis-a-vis the spheres on high. comes the Baal Tanya and says, "V'kach b'nefesh ha'odam." So too is this true in the soul of man. Shenechlekes l'shtayim. It too is divided into two parts, namely, seichel, the intellectual properties, and midas, the character properties, or, if you will, the emotions. Okay. Now, we're right on Dav Zayin on the bottom. We're reviewing from last week. As he mentioned earlier, Haseichel, Kailul Chachma, Bina, Das. Seichel includes these three intellectual qualities, namely Chachma, Bina, Das. What do they mean? We'll see in a moment. Va'amidais and the human character are Ahavas Hashem, the love of Hashem. Notice that he's sticking here to the spiritual qualities, because the animal soul also has qualities, also has personality. The qualities that he's focusing on here in this parak are the personality and the character of the godly soul. And that's why when he talks about love, he's not talking about lowly love. When he talks about fear, he's not talking about lowly fear. He's talking about the love of Hashem and the fear of Hashem, because we're dealing here with the emotions and the character qualities of the godly soul. It is the love of Hashem and the fear of Hashem. The trembling before Him and fear. Ulufara, and to praise Him. Vechabad, and the three intellectual qualities of Chachma bin Adas, Nikru Amos, they are called Imos or Amos, Umikor Lemidos. They are called the root, the source of the Midos, Ki Amidos Hentoldos Chabad, because the character, the emotions, are an outcome of Chachma Bina and Das. Okay, that's where we got up to last week. Now he explains, okay, because this really requires a great deal of explanation. And so will too, what he's going to say will require a lot of explanation. Ubiyarinian, here's the concept, let's turn the page. Kihine, page 14. Haseichel sheben nefesh hamaskeles, the intellect that is contained in the thinking soul, shu amaskil kol dover, that's the mind, that's able to grasp anything and everything, nikra b'shem chachma, the first step is called chachma. Okay? What's chachma? Koyach ma. It's the potential, the power to ask what? Okay? That's what chachma is. Now, there's many, many deeper insights into what Chachma means. It's the capacity to ask why. Okay, Ramatul has a piece in Peliyotz, the first piece in Peliyotz, where he talks about that Chachma, a person who has Chachma, is a person who's able to ask, why should I do this? Kayachma. Question, the power to ask why I should be able to do this. Others speak about it as the Kayachma of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, V'nachnuma, what am I? It's the absolute bittul. A person who has chachma is a person who totally and completely nullifies themselves to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Correct. Now, let's say that, as we discussed last week, that the power of chachma is when the Rebbeinu Shlom plants a blitz idea into a person's mind. You're trying to get something, you're trying to understand something. You don't get it. I just don't get it, and you toil, and you read it again and again and again, you don't get it. All of a sudden, bing, light goes on. Something there. But you can't yet explain how it answers all the questions you had. But you know it's there. That's Chachma. Then you take that idea, u'kishamoytzi koyuchay alapoyl. Then you take the idea and you process it. Meaning, Shem is b'nei b'sichla. You use your brain power, love in davar l'ashura, to understand as well lo amka in its depth mitoich eizad dvar chachma hamuskel b'sichla. Meaning, you take concepts that you've already grasped in your mind, gravity, you name it, whatever concept it might be that you have, and you apply that concept to the new concept, and you combine those two ideas, and they come together. And now you have a gestalt, you have an idea, a comprehension, that's nikra bina. That's the next step of the intellectual process, called bina. Vehein heim av ve'em, they are called the father and mother, hamelidois, that give birth in turn to ahavas Hashem. Now notice he skipped us. He went ahead, he spoke about Chachma, spoke about Bina, and he skipped the third intellectual quality. He went straight to the Midas. Okay? Keep that in mind. So, the father and the mother, meaning the concept that Hashem planted in the person's mind, the idea that popped into his head, and then the person took it and worked it through, that in turn will produce Ahavas Hashem, the love of Hashem, Virasa and his fear, Pachta and trembling before him. What's the word? How does this happen? Ki Aseichel Shebe Nefesh Hamaskelas. We're down on five lines into page 14. Because the intellect of the intellectual soul, kishim is boinin, when the person contemplates, umamik ma'id, and they really dig in, they really envelop their minds, bigdulas Hashem, in concepts of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What kind of concepts? He gives three examples. Example number one, ech humimalik halamin. Concept number one is the concept of Mimalei Kol Amin. What that means is that the Ribbono Shel Olam gives off an infinite amount of energy, an infinite light. That infinite light, left unto itself, would be terribly destructive to any receiver of that light, because we wouldn't be able to tolerate it. It would be taking a blind person who's been in a dungeon for decades and walking them out into broad daylight. You would blind them. It would be the equivalent of taking a electric appliance that operates on 240 and exposing it to 110, or the opposite, whichever one is stronger. But you would ruin the appliance. So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam do? He limits the concept, right? So you could have a teacher who's a brilliant teacher, and he's teaching cheder children, and he's got to teach them kometz aleph ah. So he takes all of his brilliance and withholds it, and restrains it, and holds it back, and allows just an itty little bit of information to ebb out in order that the Talmud can grasp something. That's Mimalei Kol Amin, and that is Hashem custom tailors the information and allows it to flow to the recipient according to its level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does that on billions and billions of levels, because the more spiritual worlds are able to receive much greater amounts of Kedusha. And within our world, we know that Eretz Yisrael has greater Kedusha, and Yerushalayim has greater Kedusha yet, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim has greater Kedusha yet, and so on. So even within our own world, there are levels of tolerance of Kedusha, and so on. That's one level. The second level, the second point is Soiviv Kol Alman. The Seiv of Kol Alman is what the Vodka company calls absolute godliness. It's unbridled, undiminished godliness. And it is that form of godly flow of energy which is responsible for creation of all things. The Seiv of Kol Alman is the power of the power pack behind creation. And yet, both of these forms are but mere emanations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mashal they give is the mashal of the sun. Right? The sunlight. How much sunlight is diminished when the sun gives off rays? Absolutely none. It sustains an entire world. The world, all the vegetation grows, and everything that happens, happens because of the sun. And the sun remains undiminished. As far as the sun is concerned, whether the potato plant grows two potatoes, three potatoes, four potatoes, four, it's not going to make any difference to the sun, right?
So what's the difference between the
two? So, now we're going on to the third one. The third one is that despite all the emanations and all the different forms that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows his energy to emanate, kula kamei kalei chashiv, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, it all is meaningless. It has no meaning whatsoever. See, he brought three concepts: Mimalei Kol Alman, Seiviv Kol Alman, and Kulay Kamei Kalei Chashiv. And what he's, and it's interesting, I once spoke to a very, very wise and popular teacher of Chabad philosophy. And I said to him that the Baal HaTanya is obsessed with the Mimalei Kol Alman and the Seiviv Kol Alman. He thrives on it. We'll soon see why. But he's always busy with this, with these emanations, and up and down, and back and forward, he's obsessed with them. And despite all that, it all is meaningless to God Himself. We occupy no place.
Well, both of those terms are place.
Almin.
No, mamale and seivim. Mamale is the...
Okay, so they again, the simple reading would be that the mamale suffuses something, and the seivim envelops something. Both are not true, and both are true. So the seivim envelops and contains, and the mamale envelops. Again, that's part of this obsession that he has with explaining this. And we'll soon see why he explains them. And this becomes critical to the philosophy that he shares with us here in Sefer Tanya versus the entire wall of other Hasidic sources. This Nekuda here is the crux of the difference between Chabad philosophy and the rest of the Hasidic world. His belief, he says right now, because if a person sits and ponders and envelops their mind and sits and thinks about this, and there were Chassidei Chabad for hundreds of years up until our own times, who sat for hours and hours learning this material before they got up to daven Shacharis, and then would spend hours davening Shacharis, engulfed in, look what he says, Vinis Eira Midas Yiras Haraimimus B'moichai. And as a result of this pondering, the person has a tremendous awakening of the Yiras Haraimimus. Now, here he uses fear. It doesn't mean fear as we normally, fear means I'm afraid of something happening to myself. That's not the fear that he's talking about. Here he describes it. Lira. You know what this type of fear is? It is to fear ulizbeishesh migdulosa yizbarach. To stand in awe, to stand in embarrassment. It's like the Sefer Kodesh talk about standing in the presence of an awesome tzaddik. Where you just, you're anybody's ever been in that situation, you tremble because you feel so insignificant. That's busha. That's yiras habusha. It's not. I mean, he's never going to do anything to me. He's not going to hit me. He's not going to hurt me. But I don't amount to anything in that person's presence. So she'en lo seif v'tachlis. That greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no limits. U'pachad Hashem b'libo, and he trembles before Hashem in his heart. That step number one is this yiras habusha. That's the result of intellectual pondering. Vishuv. And then, after that, when the person recognizes that despite all of this awesome greatness, that the Creator of the world wants to have a relationship with him, Yislaev Liboy Biahava Aza, the person's heart becomes engulfed in flames, Kirishbe Esh, of love, Bechsheka, with thirst, Bechafetza, Vachuka, and yearning, Venefeshakeka, and a thirsting, yearning soul, the Gedula Saint Saif Baruch, to connect with the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'hi kalois ha-nefesh. This is the term that David HaMelech uses called the expiring soul. Kidichsiv, like David HaMelech says, nichsifa v'gam kolsa nafshi lelikim. My soul thirsts and yearns for you, Hashem. Uksiv tzama nafshi lelikim. My soul thirsts for you. Uksiv tzama lecha nafshi. V'atzimoin, thirst, whom yisayid ha-esh, thirst is the result of the fire quality that we discussed last week. Remember, we discussed the four building blocks, the fire and the water. Even like the naturalists say, the scientists talk about the fact that thirst in the person's heart comes from the fire. And so too is it written in the works of the Arizal. She is Sayyid Ha'esh, who believe that the seat of fire, the main place where fire is in the human being, is in the heart. But the source of water and moisture is in the mind. This is the concept of chachma shenikra mayim shebenefesh, or the kiss. This is called the water in the godly soul. Just finish up to the period there, then we'll go back. Vishara Midas Kulan and all the other attributes, Hein Anfe Hayira V'Ahava, they are all offshoots of awe and love. Vitol de same commission kasavti mukamaf. They're all offshoots of love and awe. So all the other attributes are just subcategories of these two. Now, the Chabad way, and what the presentation that the Baal Tanya is going to make, is that if you want to impact your midos, if you want to impact your character, you want to impact your emotion, the way to get there is through the mind. Bombard the mind with godly thoughts. Bombard the mind with deep intellectual godly attainment, and your midos will follow suit. It'll follow that the person will love God and fear God and have awe and all those kinds of things. And
guaranteed
money back. Hold on. The other tzaddikim of his contemporaries felt that this wasn't for everybody. That not everybody has the mental capacity to do it. And as a result, there was a pretty strong machlekes between the Baal Tanya and some of his contemporaries about following this path. And that's why you have the other paths of Chassidus, who spoke about working through the emotions. Go straight to the emotions. Engulf the person in love of Hashem and fear, and many of the others. The particular Bavrom Kalisker, who was the Bar Pluktu, who took up the cause, was the one who promoted that idea. But numerous other Tami de Baal Shem did not, in fact, the majority did not promote this mahalach. Now, they're both, it's Eidu Velu Divi the Kim Chaim, and much of it is personality based. Some people are intellectual people who operate through the intellect, others operate through the emotions and then get to the intellect through the emotions.
Did the Baal Tanya agree then with emotions as well?
He defended his position vehemently. Mm-hmm. Now, he was a phenomenal intellect, so you know, that formed his part of his position, but he also fiercely defended it, that his position was the opinion of their Rebbe, namely the Magid of Mizrich. And as you see in the Haskamas to the Sefer, that the other Talmidim who wrote the Haskamas agreed. They read the Sefer and they gave their Haskamas. So clearly, you know, they agreed. And what's more, the Baal Tanya was known to have said that everything he wrote, not just in the Likutei Amorim, but in the Likutei Torah and Torah Or and his other Sfarim, were from one mimer that he heard from the Magid. So it was just from one, you know, from one sitting.
How do you go through the emotions?
It means directly to recognize this, the for instance, if you learn Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi focuses a great deal on the merit, on the schus of a Jew having the privilege of being able to perform Ratzon Hashem. Tnu Oiz Lelekim. The fact that my mitzvah can make a difference in every act that a human being makes has huge impact in Shemayim and all the Olamas. And the fact that I have the ability to give a Nachas Ruach to Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's working through the actions. You'll see, now we're going to get into the Levushim in Perek Dalet. But working through the Levushim rather than working from the mind down, working from the Midas to the mind.
The Baal Tanya will prescribe those thoughts that are supposed to have this effect.
Yeah, it's all mind-based. Now, so I want to go back to a few points. The first thing is to recognize the very careful delineation of the source of Aveda Shebelev, of that which he calls the work of the heart, namely, Yisoida Eish, is in the heart, and that the intellectual power is mayim in leichus. Okay, so what does that say? What that says is that the intellect is cold. Okay, the emotions, the avoda shebelev,
if the water heats underneath, then it should be warm.
Then it should boil. So the emotions are referred to as the esh. And I think that this becomes critical when we got to deal with the various forms of the opposite side of the aisle. We We got to know what we're battling against to know what to battle with. If we're fighting taiva, don't fight it with water. Although usually you fight fire with water. When you're fighting fire, you got to fight it with fire of Kedusha. When you're fighting water, when you're fighting apikursis, when you're fighting heresy, and you got to go to it, you got to go at it with the water of Kedusha. They're not interchangeable. What he's telling us here is that they're very different approaches to very different problems. All right, now we get to the critical thing, why he skipped das. And again, this is a very controversial point here. What is the definition of das? So let's see his explanation, right after the period, about 10 lines to the bottom. Ve'adas, the concept of das, hu meloshen va'odom yoda eschaba. Concept of das comes from the pasuk, and man knew Chava. What does it mean? He knew Chava. It means that they were intimate, that they were connected. V'loshen hiskashrus v'ischabrus. Das means to connect. Das means to bind. Shemikasha daitoi. That means that the person takes everything we just discussed. The brilliant understanding at every, whatever the person's level of understanding of godliness is, whether it's Mamala Kalaman, Sevim Kalaman, Kulakame Kalei Hashem, whatever the person's attainment is in their understanding godliness, that the person needs to take that level of understanding and bind it Bekesher Amitz V'Chazak Me'oid with a permanent tight knot. V'yiska machshavtoy, and embed their minds, their thoughts, b'chayzik, with tremendous strength, b'gdulas ein sof baruch hu, with whatever attainments of godly knowledge they're able to have, v'einoy mesiach daitoy, and not to let go. Do not stop thinking about it. Ki af mishu chochem v'novein, unfortunately we see this all too often, that you have people who are very wise and people who are understanding. We can do this inside. They understand wonderful, lofty, Kabbalistic, godly concepts. Hineim lo yikasha daitai. But if they don't tie their minds to it actively, v'yiska machshavte b'chayzik, and they don't actively bind their minds to these thoughts, u'ba'asmoda, and with tremendous diligence, meaning all the time, every open, available moment of thought is spent thinking about godly concepts. It isn't going to happen, guys. You can go to great, brilliant shiurim. You can have a tremendous grasp of information, and it's not going to result in emotional love. It's not going to result in emotional fear.
Emotional thing is action, doing something?
No, not yet. That's the next. Here it's talking about emotions, feelings.
Isn't there between thinking
and feeling are two different levels. Wait, he'll explain. What will it be? What is it going to be when the person understands it? It will be kin dimyonis shav. Person will be living in a world of make-believe. Imagination. The person's going to be able to walk around thinking, I'm a great Kabbalist. I'm a great intellectual mind. I know numerous sources and all kinds of fabulous, really cool, godly stuff. But it's dimyon neshav. He's living in a world of delusion. V'alkein hadas. Therefore, what is das? Das is active, living thought. Hukiyum hamidus v'chiyusan das is the sustainable, living, life-giving qualities that energizes the emotions with these feelings v'chiyusan v'hukaylal, and they include in them chesed degvura pirish ahava v'yanfel v'yira v'yanfel, love and all of its offshoots, and awe and fear and all of its offshoots. Right, now I made you a copy of another explanation here of this very same concept. So let's take a look at how, this is a generation later, the Agadah Pirkei was authored by the Bnei Yisachar, by Reb Tzvi Elimelech of Dinev, the Agra de Kala, Agra de Pirkei. He wrote numerous, a prolific author. And I made a bunch of copies there, so you guys could share. Says the Agra de Kala, look at letter Kuf Lamed Beis. Okay? Lahavin, let's try to understand. Bechinas Mitzios Gimel Meichin. Let's try understanding the concept of these three intellectual capacities, namely Chachma Bina V'das, Pesechel Adam. How do we understand these? Okay? Now, you have to remember this is a non-Chabad Sefer. Okay? So it's just fascinating to see how he approaches the very same concept. And he gives it different terminology to help us grasp it. The Muskel Rishon, the first idea, Shenoifel B'sichle, that falls into the person's mind, Lasis Davama, to do something, Nikra Chachma. Okay? Totally consistent with what we just learned. First idea is called Chachma Kayachma. Shirak Machshava Pshuta. It's a simple thought. Without any broadening at all, and width and in length, eich, how, umayasu, hadavar, how I'm going to do it, what I'm going to do, there's no depth, it's just an idea. Kuf lamed beis. Tovia. Kuf lamed beis. Right by the parentheses. Bulekach, p'chinas chachma, this is a very useful concept that we're seeing right now in the parentheses. For this reason, you'll see Rashi quotes it in Chumash, that Chachma is referred to as a Yud. The letter Yud, Rashi says, is Chachma. It's a Nekuda, because every Yud in the Sefer Torah is just a drop of ink. B'li Yispashtus. A Yud has no shape, it's just a drop, because it's the concept of a drop of Chachma. After the parentheses, and then the person contemplates, hey, how am I going to do it? Umaya, so what am I going to do? That is called the next level, called Bina, which is Maven Davar Mitoich Davar. I understand one thing from another. Hainu, that is to say, Mitoich Davar HaMuskel HaRishon. I take the first concept that I grasped. Okay, Nikra Pchinas Bina Hey. For this reason, again, Rashi quotes this. Bina is referred to as the letter Hey, because a letter Hey has Hispashtus Kav. It has the lengthening of the line, Lo'erich Ulareichiv. So you take a letter Yud, you drag it a little bit to the left and a little bit down, and then you take the original Yud and you put it inside of it. Okay? So you take a concept that you had already and it turns into the letter Hey. That's how he explains why it's a letter Hey. Now, after the parentheses, v'hine, afilu yizbo'inein ha'odam b'chachmosayu b'nosay, even if a person were to contemplate, utilizing his wisdom and his bina, lase says a davar to go ahead and do something, im yiniach ha'davar mimechshavtai, if the person drops the thought, l'sigma lo'yasiya, he'll never do it. Ashagama Bidaita, he's never going to finish doing what he decided to do. Until he binds the idea in his mind with a total agreement, that he's not going to rest, until he actually does what he promised himself he was going to do. That agreement to do what he said he was going to do is called das, hu loshan hiskashrus. As he said earlier, that's the concept of connection. Miloshan v'yeda adam, meaning shemikasher adava b'machshavta, that you bind the idea in your thoughts. V'hu hiskashrus hamachshavim amaisa, that is when the thought is able to turn into action. Alkein hadas hu soif hamachshava v'tchilas hamaisa. Critical words. Therefore, das is where thought ends and action begins. Das becomes the bridge from thought to action. So das in many places is viewed as being a bridge. Ramatul speaks about das with regard to Amalek as being a person's neck. It's that which connects the person's brain to the emotions. Amalek was responsible for decapitating people. Meaning, he was fine. Have as much intellectual brilliance as you want. Just don't let it filter down into your actions. Yeah, but okay, but the das is still going to be the connector between those two.
The Greeks got that from him?
The Greeks got it from?
Malik.
Yeah, they're all the same. Oh. Just different faces. Look what he writes now. This is exactly what is explained in Sefer HaTanya. Shechibar HaGoyin HaChosid Marenu Reb Zalman Shneir Zatzal, composed by the Baal HaTanya. V'ra'isi Rabim Cholkim Olav Avonas Pchinas HaDas. I've seen many disagree with him about what the meaning of Das is. But he's right. Because this is explained in other Kabbalistic works also. Just to see the next three lines, because it, unfortunately, there's a little mirror in those three lines. It's explained there that the dark side does not have das. He says, from this, each of us should look into ourselves. If you see a person who is flip-flopping. Even if they flip-flop when it comes to their method of service. Today I daven Ashkenaz, tomorrow it's Svard. Today I learn Tanya, tomorrow it's going to be Mesillas Yesharim. Today I want to do this good thing. Tomorrow I want to do that good thing. Adain HaKlipis Reitfim Achrov. He is still in pursuit of the world of the klipas. That's not das. Das is a person who is anchored and rooted and has made up their mind where they're heading and what they're going to do.
He says that Baal HaTanya is right, but his definition seems vastly different. Baal HaTanya is talking about anivas. It's ma'ani. He's saying the koach. He's saying the koach is